Hello and welcome to this special episode of the New York Fishing Podcast. My name is George Skaka. I'll be your host. We're here today talking about the emergency measures that are going to be put in place on July 2nd, where New York anglers are going to have to reduce the slot from 28 to 35 inches to 28 to 31 inches. This is not something that it takes public opinion. It's an emergency measure. It was actually passed 15 in favor and one opposed. So this is coming. And we get a really, really great explanation. I'm very excited to have you folks listen to this interview as Emily Franca really explains to us where we were, where we are, and where we're going. So I'm excited to bring you this interview. And here is Emily Franca. So I want to introduce Emily Franca. She joined the ASMFC staff back in January in 21, and she has since coordinated the fishery management plan for the ASMFC for Atlantic striped bass, Atlantic herring, cobia, which you all know we seem to be targeting these days, and Spanish mackerel, another favorite of ours. She has a master's degree in marine affairs focused on fisheries management. Prior to joining the commission, she worked on blue crab management, another favorite here, and other fisheries and habitat issues in the Chesapeake Bay. That's the bay that people in New York kind of feel isn't being handled that great, but that's a whole nother podcast. So, Emily, first of all, I want to really thank you so much for coming on the show. As I'm sure you're aware, striped bass is like probably number one in the minds of anglers, not just in New York, up and down the coast. I believe the number is like 10 million trips this year, maybe even more, targeted towards striped bass. I'd like to get your overall assessment of the health of the striped bass fishery and how far we've come and how much more we need to do.
Great. Well, that sounds good. And thanks again for having me. I'm happy to be here and talk with you. So yeah, there's, you know, a long history of striped bass management. You know, the fishery management plan has been in place for a long time. So just sort of taking us back, maybe just about 4 or 5 years ago, we had a really important stock assessment, a benchmark stock assessment in 2019 that told us that the striped bass stock was both overfished. So that means the biomass of spawning females was below the level that would support a healthy striped bass population. And the stock was also experiencing overfishing. So our fishing, the fishing mortality rate was above where it needed to be to maintain that healthy population. So, you know, that really changed our perspective of how the stock was doing. You know, sort of through the 2010s, the stock was doing okay according to the stock assessments. But that 2019 stock assessment was a real turning point in our perspective of how the stock was doing. So, you know, the Striped Bass Management Board, which is all the states from Maine through North Carolina, you know, working through the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission, took action immediately in response to that stock assessment to address that overfishing. And they were successful in bringing that fishing mortality rate down. However, you know, we just had this most recent stock assessment last year. So it told us that the stock is no longer experiencing overfishing, which is good, but the stock is still overfished. So we're still below the target of where we want to be. So, you know, I think we've come a long way in terms of addressing that fishing mortality and being able to take management action to address that. But we have this goal still of trying to rebuild the stock. And our deadline to rebuild the stock is 2029. So we've got a few more years before we meet that deadline.
And I don't know. I think that you have a really tough job in figuring out exactly what's going on with this fishery. I will say this. It is the one true success story of the ASMFC. You know, I've been involved in this for a very long time. And, you know, you folks have done a good job. I'm wondering, so you're saying now that all of a sudden we find out that we're overfishing. When you say we, is it the rec sector? Is it the commercial sector? Is it both combined? I'm curious if these emergency regs are going to affect the commercial fishery.
Sure. So, right, that 2019 assessment, you know, that told us we were overfishing, that overfishing, you know, fishing mortality rate is a combination of both the commercial and recreational sectors. However, the striped bass fishery, about 90% of striped bass removals, so the number of striped bass that die each year due to fishing, over 90% typically every year are from the recreational sector. So while it's a combined commercial and recreational sector fishing mortality rate, you know, a large portion of the striped bass fishery is recreational. And so, you know, skipping forward a couple of years to where we are now in this emergency action, you know, in response to the increased recreational harvest we saw last year, 2022, the board was really focused on that recreational component because, you know, they saw that really significant increase in recreational harvest last year. You know, it was nearly double what recreational harvest was in 2021. So the board really focused the emergency action on the recreational sector for the rest of this year. I will say that the board also initiated a management action to start developing measures for next year, 2024. And those measures will include some different options for changing the size limits for the commercial fishery. So this year, the board was really focused on that recreational component, but future measures will include options for additional commercial restrictions.
So what are you basing that 90% number on? I'm curious because, I mean, the Chesapeake alone, isn't it 50-50?
Right. So exactly. On some parts of the coast, the proportion of commercial and recreational, you know, is a lot more even. Like in the Chesapeake Bay, of course, there's a lot more commercial harvest compared to, you know, some of the New England states. But overall, from a coastwide perspective, from Maine through North Carolina, the number of fish that are harvested recreationally combined with the number of fish that are assumed to die from recreational release mortality is much larger than the coastwide number of commercially harvested fish. There's just a lot of effort out there.
No, I get that. But I find that number deceiving because the commission is, you're looking at a commercial number that was landed and sold. You're not taking into account the 50% at tops 50% mortality. It's probably 60, 70% in the gillnet fishery. And then you've got all this bycatch in the dragger fisheries and the gillnet fisheries and all these other fisheries. So when we hear that, you know, we're comparing actual landings, I mean, the wreck angler I've heard anywhere from 7 to 9% on, you know, our mortality rates. Now, we were told that would be reduced by a huge number if we went to circle hooks. And we did. We went to circle hooks. So now here we are, you know, we're at a 20 in New York, we're at a 28 to 35 inch fish, right? Mm-hmm. So now I know the measures are going to bring it down to a 31. So So now we're using circle hooks. We've got all these days. We're doing everything that we can. And yet, for some reason, that mortality rate has not gone down. So are the circle hooks working? Because if they're not, then we won't use them. But if they are, can we see the results in numbers? That's the first thing. That, you know, the other problem that I have with this is the total blind eye to the bycatch mortality rates and everything involved in the commercial fishery. And again, now here we're going to stand, you know, the commercials are going to have one side, we're going to have another. And, you know, I get that. I don't get how that works for the bass, but I get it in management, you know, why it ends up that way. But I could tell you firsthand, Emily, the last thing an angler likes to see is they go into a supermarket. I'm going to use a sea bass as an example. And they have to throw back a 16-inch sea bass because it's got to be 16 and a half inches. Yet they see a 14-inch sea bass, or rather 15, I'm sorry, 15 this year. So, like, that's one of the things that causes a lot of tension between the two groups. But that's not what we're here to talk about. I'm sorry I rambled on about it, but it is in my mind. It always bothers me when the recreational fishery is directly targeted, when we're the ones that really, I mean, we all do, even the commercials, we all do. We all want to, you know, make sure we have a healthy fishery. But everything is directed at us. And I know it's because of the effort. I get that. But I think those numbers are skewed. And I believe, I'm not buying that. I never did, no offense, that 10% mortality. I was involved in a study in the Long Island Sound a long time ago, 30 years ago, where we caught striped bass recreationally and then let them go into pens in the Sound. And they had about a 2% mortality. In fact, it was under 2%. And that was when we're using sandworms with long shank hooks that would end up down their throats in many cases. Those fish live. So I don't buy that 10% thing. I never did. It could be right. I don't know. I'm going by my personal experience. So that's all I could say. All right, so let's move on to a couple other questions. So we know why this happened. So here's my fear, right? So I never liked this slot thing. I just feel with targeting like certain year classes, and I'm afraid what the long and the short of it is. Although I will say that in Florida it's worked well with snook and redfish. Can it work here? I guess so. Does it bother me that we had to let go of the holy grail, that we cannot ever again take a 50-pound striped bass? Yeah, that bothers me. You know, we spend God knows how much money on these fish, and that was something I always loved doing. But I guess it's a different world of fishing. I've accepted that. Is it important to protect those fish? Yeah, but the fish is a fish, and if you protect them all, we'll be in pretty good shape. So that's just the way I feel about that. So now we're going to go down to, what is it? The proposed measure is 28 to 31?
That's correct.
Okay. So what do you think the odds are getting that? So, you know, we're going out. It was hard enough to get a 28 to 35. So now, you know, we're stuck in this thing, and we're going to do it. Because we're recreational anglers and we are stewards of these fish. We always have been. I mean, I'm sure you know it's the, I think there's been more money spent on striped bass management than any other fish probably in the history of the United States. So, and it's a very important fishery. The bottom line is now we're going to have 28 to 31. So do we know what year class that is and how that year class fared when it was a YOY?
Yes. So, right. For this emergency action, changing measures for the recreational fishery for the rest of this year to implement that 31-inch maximum. The board noted that their rationale for that is really to protect the 2015 year class. So that year class this year in 2023 are age 8. And so they're estimated to be around 31 inches long. Of course, some fish will be longer, some fish will be shorter. But you really have that 2015 year class falling within that previous slot of 28 to 35 inches. So the board members noted, you know, with another year of fishing this year, with this strong year class in that 28 to 35 slot, there was concern if, you know, that slot wasn't changed, that year class would have to endure, you know, another year of high harvest, and that would make it much harder to rebuild the stock as time goes on, especially because some of the year classes coming behind the 2015. So those younger fish that will be coming into the ocean fishery over the next couple of years, those year classes have been below average. So this 2015 year class is a really important, strong year class that the board noted they wanted to protect. So that 31 inches is based on protecting those age 8 fish this year.
Okay, so do we need to protect them enough that the commercial fishery shouldn't be taking those fish?
So, you know, again, the board focused this particular action on the recreational sector because we saw that significant increase in recreational harvest. You know, a lot of board members talked about, as you mentioned as well, you know, with the striped bass fishery, if there are a lot of fish out there, effort tends to increase. So, you know, there was concern if there was no action taken, you know, there would be another year of high harvest on this year class. And for the commercial fishery, you know, the regulations among the different states varies. You know, states have different commercial size limits. So that's something that the board is going to take a closer look at for 2024 measures as to whether or not, you know, putting in a maximum commercial size limit, how that might benefit the stock. But this emergency action was very much focused on, you know, what they saw in 2022, that increase in recreational harvest. And, you know, because the commercial fishery is managed with a quota system, commercial landings have been pretty stable for the past few years. So we haven't seen that same increase in commercial harvest as we have on the recreational side.
That's true, but I mean, I don't see why you couldn't maybe have switched them to 26 to 31. And no matter what you give them, they're going to reach their total. So I don't know if you're that worried about fish dying that are over 31 inches. I'm thinking that maybe you could have worked something out with them. Again, they're going to catch their quota no matter what. They're killing so many fish. Anyway, I don't talk about that. So another question, are there any regions, states, anywhere that, aside from the commercial fishery, that are exempt from these emergency recs?
Yes. So first, the Chesapeake Bay trophy fisheries. So that is the 2-week trophy fisheries season in the state of Maryland and in the Potomac River. Those trophy fisheries are exempt from the emergency action. And that is because, first of all, those trophy fisheries have a 35-inch minimum size limit. So that size limit is already protecting those fish between 31 and 35. And also from a practical standpoint, that trophy season only runs for the first 2 weeks of May. And so because the board took this action at the beginning of May, the season is essentially over before that action can be implemented.
Okay. So, you know, as a long time, a person who's been around since this plan practically started, the Chesapeake always gets some kind of something. So how, you know, it boggles the mind that we're trying to reduce mortality. You know, look, and it's not you. It's I see these regulations kind of talking out to both sides of their mouth. In one case, you're allowing a trophy fishery, which we all know these are spawning fish they're targeting. So when the plan, we just heard a couple of years ago, we need to save the spawning fish. So we have a slot. So we shut. So here in New York, we're done now. We can't catch a big fish. We're not allowed. But they're allowed to take spawning fish in the Chesapeake Bay. That's, I would contend, and maybe you would, to say it's in much worse shape than the Hudson. I think the Hudson fishery is soon to be the number one fishery, if not the number one spawning grounds and producer of striped bass on the East Coast. So here we are. That trophy fishery really always got to me. I don't understand how you can say to us, no, you can't keep a fish over 34 inches, but if you're in the Chesapeake, you could kill all the spawners you want because we're used to doing that. We have tournaments and there's a lot of people making money on it. And we're the state that spent the most on striped bass management. I get all that. But that irks me so bad to say. At one side, we're hearing protect those spawners in the Hudson, even though the Hudson's got probably more bass than ever had ever. And let them take the fish out of the bay that really needs the fish. So I'm glad I got that out. So they're exempt. Who else is exempt?
Yes, and just for a little bit more information there. So that Chesapeake Bay trophy fishery, it's only about 2 weeks. And last year in 2021, the trophy fishery harvest was about 6,000 fish, which is a very small percentage of the total coastwide recreational harvest. And, you know, the rest of the Chesapeake Bay recreational fisheries outside of the trophy fishery, so your typical, you know, summer and fall Chesapeake Bay fisheries, they are subject to this emergency action. So they will have that 31 inch maximum. And then your question is to who else is exempt? The emergency action doesn't affect the New Jersey recreational bonus program, but that's because that bonus program already has a different size limit. So the New Jersey bonus program has a size limit of 24 to less than 28 inches. So that's already below that 31 inch maximum.
Okay. Well, I don't think they take too many fish, but I just want to go back to the trophy fishery.
Sure.
So in New York, because we have a vibrant fishery and we would catch a lot more than 6,000 fish, we cannot have a big fish fishery. Yet the Chesapeake, who's hurting for big fish, I don't care how many, 6,000 spawners sounds to me like a lot of fish. I don't know, maybe it's not, but it sounds like, you know, I don't know how many eggs they produce, but just the fact that they're targeting those fish when that fishery's trying to rebound and we're not allowed to get a shot at a big fish in New York, none of it's fair. I mean, I guess soon the state here in New York will probably sell some kind of bass tag that you can get a 50-pound fish on. That's what everybody's doing. But, you know, right now, I just don't see the fairness in the plan. As far as Jersey, I'm not worried about that commercial fishery at all. I respect Jersey. A lot of people in New York do not. I do. Tom Fody's a good friend of mine. I'm sure you've spoken to Tom. So, you know, those guys have always fought for what they have. They weren't given it. And they fish a lot more than us, and they have much better regulations than we do. But in any case, let's get back to the striped bass. So we have, so those are the exemptions. None up north like Massachusetts or Maine or any of those.
So can you repeat that?
I'm sorry. So Maine or Massachusetts, no, or Connecticut, there's no like exemption.
Correct. There's no exemptions.
Okay. So let's talk about now conservation equivalencies. Are the states going to come back with conservation equivalencies, or is what you gave what it is?
So for this emergency action, there is no conservation equivalency. So what the board decided is what it is for the rest of 2023.
Okay. I'm definitely in favor of that, because conservation equivalencies, I just think they add another, you know, another sauce into the mix, and it just makes it so much harder to figure things out. And in our case, you know, you're fishing right next to a boat in New Jersey, and he's keeping fish you can't keep. And you know, I mean, the whole, that whole thing, I feel is very divisive amongst anglers, you know, when we're fishing next to somebody in another state. But again, that's a story for another time. So, you know, one thing I wanted to ask you. So we go into the season, right? And we all look at the regs, you know, a lot. And the average Joe, he's got no idea what's going on behind the scenes. You know, he's looking at last year's and he's saying, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And in many cases, they'll charter a boat based on those regulations. They'll look for tides and the time to go. And then all of a sudden, now this charter captain has taken a deposit for this trip. And now all of a sudden the regulations have changed. Now this isn't just in striped bass. This is every single fishery that we're involved in. I mean, we found about the fluke season, I think, a week before. So it's very hard for both the recreational angler to prepare, and especially the industry. You know, a tackle shop, he's got to load up on stuff. So I was wondering, you know, are these things taken into account that the second this goes in, that there will be charters canceled and that this is going to be a hardship on the recreational fishing industry? And no matter what way you twist and turn it, it is.
Yes. So emergency action is not something that, you know, the commission takes lightly. So, you know, one of the things is that this emergency action requires a supermajority of the board vote. So it requires at least a 2/3 board vote to implement any emergency action. So that's, you know, one of the requirements for any management board that wants to take emergency action is you need a supermajority. And for this striped bass action, there was a much greater than 2/3 vote. The vote was 15 in favor and 1 opposed with the final vote. And the board did have a discussion about the, you know, economic impacts on the recreational industry, but ultimately decided, you know, through their vote that they felt that this was an emergency and needed to take action this year.
Now, what if a state, so, all right, but first of all, I don't know what the vote was, but I'm going to take a stab and say Jersey was a no.
That's correct. New Jersey was the one vote opposed.
I love that state. I can't help it. So, so they voted no, and the rest of the coast, that is, I tell you what, though, that's rare that you get that many. But then again, Chesapeake got what they wanted, and Potomac and all them, so we know why they voted yes. But all right, so that's really, really interesting. So here we are. Now, what if a state says, sorry, ASMFC, we're not going to do it? What happens in a case like that?
Mm-hmm. So states have until July 2nd to implement these emergency regulations through their own, you know, state rulemaking or regulatory process. And then after July 2nd, the Striped Bass Management Board can, you know, have a meeting at any time to review compliance as to whether or not states have implemented these measures. And the procedure at the commission for any non-compliance finding, so finding a state out of compliance, is pretty set in stone. So what would happen is the board would meet and would make a determination that they are finding a state out of compliance. And then that determination would also go to the commission's Interstate Fisheries Policy Board, and then it would further go to the full commission itself. And then the commission would send a letter to the Secretary of Commerce and Secretary of Interior with their finding that a state is out of compliance. And then at that point, it's in the Secretary of Commerce's hands to review the situation and make their own determination. And if the Secretary of Commerce finds that the state is out of compliance, the Secretary of Commerce has the ability to shut down that state's fishery.
Wow. I don't know that that's ever happened. Maybe it has, but I know a lot of states have gone off plan and then managed to work things out, but I don't think you're going to get that here. I mean, I know Jersey is threatening it, but I don't know if they will. But in any case, you know, look, we're all here for the same purpose. I mean, you guys have a tough job. I can't imagine what it's like trying to figure out how many striped bass there really are in the ocean and how many of each year class. And I mean, it's a really tough task. But to your credit there, the striped bass is one success that we could all point to. And Emily, I really enjoyed this talk. You educated me and my listeners without throwing a lot of that scientific terms in there. We usually have to explain everything after I get done. So I truly appreciate that. And I'd really like to have you back on, you know, in the summer, if possible, to talk about cobia. And, you know, now that we have a director fishery here in New York. So
yes, well, absolutely. Thanks for having me. But you know, I'm happy to answer any questions, any follow up questions, and yeah, hopefully we can find a time to chat about cobia.
All righty, Emily. Thanks again. Keep up the good work over there. And I want to thank you for doing this on the show.
No problem. Thanks for having me, George.
Okay, you're welcome. So there you have it, folks. We are going to see the reduction. As of July 2nd, it's only affecting recreational anglers. And once again, the Chesapeake, somehow, they get an exemption for their trophy fishery, a fishery that they had to eliminate years ago, and somehow they managed to get it back. So, you know, if you're down there, you're still allowed the holy grail of the 50-pound bass. But if you're here in New York with a vibrant striped bass fishery, you will not be able to keep that striped bass because we're catching too many fish. So, you know, it's the old conundrum. You save the fish, you're going to catch more. Well, anyway, look, that's the bottom line. That's where we're at. There is nothing we can do to change it. It is coming. So what I want you to do, folks, is please subscribe to this podcast. I have a whole lineup coming out. The next podcast is going to be on the ghost pots in the Long Island Sound. I have another great interview from people in the know on that. And I'm also going to be starting a weekly series regarding the industrialization of our beautiful or once beautiful coastline. It's a long, involved, I hate to use the term that as you peel the onion back, there's just more and more, but it never ends. The story has so many pieces to it, and most of New York is blind to it. I mean, it has hit the news, and we do know the whale deaths. But I go much further, and I do a deep dive into this thing, and it's just the facts. I'm not bringing you anything but facts. So please subscribe to the channel. We'll be bringing you a lot of stuff in this upcoming season. And again, I want to thank you all for joining me. And be sure to visit nyangler.com or newyorkangler.com. We are the friendly, vibrant fishing community, and we got a lot of people there to help. So once again, thanks for tuning in, and tight lines to all.